Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema first quarter 2019 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, CEO of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you and good afternoon to everybody. I'm here with our CFO and our Investor Relations Director. So we started this year with a very good asset growth, particularly regarding the factoring business. Since March of this year, we also started to purchase receivable without recourse from a large pharma company that is going to start to contribute to our P&L more in the next quarters. Also regarding the CQ business, since April we did start to originate directly the CQ loan thanks to the acquisition of Atlantide, which has been finalized at the beginning of April this year. I'm looking at the slide that has been distributed and are available on the website. In page 2, as you can see, the factoring turnover is up 27% on a year-on-year basis, which is equal to 639 million, also thanks to the tax receivable component. The CQ outstanding exceed the 700 million, which is up 35% on a year-on-year basis. Interest income equal to 21.6 million, which is up 8% on a year-on-year basis, thanks to the asset growth. The cost of funding is slightly lower than the previous year, so from 0.9% is now 0.8%. The total income equal to 19.3 million, which is up 7% on a year-on-year basis, driven to the higher core business growth. The loan loss provision is equal to 2.6 million, higher on a year-on-year basis and in line with the last quarter of last year. The total operating cost is up 9% on a year-on-year basis, and the net income equal to 4.5 million. During the last period, we also registered a strong growth of our retail funding component, in particular coming from foreign investor. The core Tier 1 ratio is at 10.6%, which is lower on a quarter-on-quarter basis due to the growth of assets. And this number will be increased at under 60 basis points when the CQ RWA reduction will enter into effect. We expect the publication of the new CRR amendment, which is include also this reduction in the next few weeks. Atlantide will also our CQ company will be fully integrated in the next period and is going to be merged into Banca Sistema. We are only following the legal requirement. We already received the authorization from Bank of Italy for the merger. Moving to the next slide, which is slide number 3, a slightly bit more details. So as I mentioned, both factoring and CQ has registered strong increase, both on a year-on-year basis as well as on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Our growth in factoring is due to 22% turnover growth. At the end of last year, the tax receivable did represent 22% of the outstanding. At the end of the first quarter, tax receivable represent 23% of the outstanding. As already mentioned, the direct distribution to the Atlantide network, which include 20 agents and 15 intermediary, will allow to consolidate our CQ loan and to have a higher margin coming from this asset class. Obviously, this will take some quarter in order to become visible in our balance sheet, as we start already with a position of 700 million of CQ outstanding in our book. Now, let me pass the microphone to Ilaria, that will take you through more in details on the numbers.
Hi, good afternoon. As you can see in this section of the presentation, we have slightly changed the format of some slides to focus now more on the main P&L figures and some KPIs. I will start from slide number 4, which has remained the same, where we look at the balance sheet. As shown in the table, at the end of the quarter, total assets stand at 3.86 billion and have increased 26% versus 2018 year end. The increase is driven by both the growth in Gavi's portfolio and in customer loans. In particular, Gavi's portfolio reached 1.2 billion and is up both quarter on quarter and year on year. The average duration is now 14 months, while it was 21 months at the end of last year, and that includes the 262 million of held-to-sell component with an average duration of 4 months. Loans at amortized cost are up 9% at 2.6 billion, and in particular, factoring receivables are up 9% at 1.7 billion, thanks to the turnover generation in the first quarter. And CQ loans are also up 9%, totaling now 708 million. Equity investments include a minority stake of 19.9% in ADV Finance and ProCredit, which will be sold in the next quarter based on today's resolution by the Board of Directors. Due to bank item has decreased, and the decrease is driven by lower funding from the interbanking segment. Due to customers increase is driven mainly by repos following the higher Gavi's portfolio that we mentioned, and also by higher term deposits, as Gianluca mentioned, that have more than compensated the decrease in current accounts. Shareholders' equity at quarter end, which includes dividend paid on the 8th of May, set at 158 million. We now move on to the next slide to discuss some P&L dynamics. The full P&L table is now reported in the appendix, while here we've decided to spend more time focusing on selected items that we deem most relevant. We'll start from interest income. The solid commercial performance of the core business in the first quarter has driven interest income up by 8% year-on-year, and the Gavi's portfolio has also contributed to the growth of interest income. Focusing on factoring, with 14.7 million, factoring represents 68% of total interest income, while CQ represents 32% of it with 6.9 million. Within the factoring, while the income contribution of commercial and fiscal receivables has increased, the contribution of LPIs has decreased year on year due to lower extra collections. To go more in details, contribution to P&L of LPIs from legal action in Q1 is equal to 4 million, while it was 4.8 million in Q1 last year. The 4 million is broken down as follows. Accrual accounts for 3 million, which is stable year on year. It was 2.9 million in Q1 last year. And extra collection is lower at 1 million, while it was 1.8 million in Q1 last year. The lower extra collections that we see doesn't mean that our collection performance has deteriorated. Indeed, the collection rates, if anything, have improved and now are at around 85%, if not more. And our gross collections have only slightly decreased. As you can see in the bottom right table, we have collected 2.7 million versus the 3 million in Q1 last year. However, the collection amount, net of the accrual that has already been allocated to P&L, has decreased due to the higher accrual rates that we now have with respect to the past. And that explains why we have registered extra collections of 1 million compared to the 1.8 million last year. CQ and Gavi's portfolio income has increased year on year, and that has more than compensated the decrease in LPI. CQ profitability overall is stable year on year, but slightly lower versus year end 2018. The dynamics that we have described have of course driven also the year-on-year performance of the adjusted income margin. We will comment the commission income in more details in the next slide, but it's worth mentioning here that when we monitor the performance of the business, from now on we will focus on the adjusted interest income margin, including commissions, as this index better represents factoring profitability. The margin for the core business has decreased year on year, down from, as you can see from the table, down from 5.1% to 4.4%. Two are the drivers of the decrease. The first one is a higher weight of the CQ assets on total customer loans. We all know that the CQ has a dilutive effect on margins overall. The second one is the lower contribution of LPIs that we just commented about. Despite the decrease, however, the adjusted interest income margin is still within the range forecasted in the business plan, although it now sets at the lower end of 4.4. Looking at the bottom table, the stock of LPIs stand now at 119 million, of which 100 million is part of the accrual perimeter, which is up from the 96 million at year end. The remaining 19 million that you show in the table are related to cities under financial distress, which we do not record in the balance sheet. Overall, the amount of LPI that has been so far recorded in PNL amounts to 43.9 million. We now move on to comment total income on the next slide. Total income set at 19.3 million and is up 7% year on year, where the growth is driven both by higher net interest income and higher net commissions. Within the net interest income increase that we have commented in the previous slide has more than compensated higher interest expenses. On the other hand, interest expenses increase is only driven by higher stock of funding, while the average cost of funding, as Gianluca mentioned, is actually lower both year on year and also slightly versus year end last year. Net commissions increase year on year is due to higher commission income, which it is itself driven by factoring turnover growth. And as you can see from the bottom right table, commissions have increased by 1 million from 3.7 to 4.7 million. Higher commission expenses are due to the strong growth of the funding foreign component that we mentioned. Overall, net commissions increased 12% year on year. We now move on to cover operating costs on page 7. Operating costs have registered an increase of 9% year on year, which is in line with the increase in customer loans. In details, personal expenses account for 45% of total cost and are almost stable year on year, despite an 8% increase in the number of headcounts, and that is thanks to the reduction in the average total cost per employee. Today, our total headcount has a further increase to 209 FTEs following the acquisition of Atlantide that we have mentioned. Other costs are higher year on year, and this is driven on one side by higher admin expenses, which are due to legal and consultancy fee and also to a higher contribution to the National Resolution Fund. And on the other side, higher costs were driven by higher net provisions for risk and charges. Now turn to page 8 to discuss funding. Cost of funding at 0.8% is lower year on year and also slightly lower, as we mentioned, versus 2018 year end. Funding mix is well balanced between wholesale and retail with a 49-51% mix. The ratio has rebalanced versus year end when it was 41% versus 59%, despite a strong increase in the retail component. Indeed, as you can see in the bottom right table, retail funding has registered a strong growth, growing from 1.6 billion to 1.7 billion. If we only consider term deposits, the increase has been from 958 million to 1.15 billion, with 200 million net inflows in only 3 months from the beginning of the year. Such a strong increase is the consolidation of a trend which started in the second half last year, and which is driven by the solid growth in the foreign component of our deposits, which now represents 58% of total TER deposit compared to 39% at year-end. If we compare the current stock of term deposits with the stock at the end of Q1 last year, the growth has been even more significant, as deposits moved from 445 million to the 1.115 billion that we mentioned, which is 2.6 times bigger. Despite these dynamics, however, the wholesale funding component has increased in relative terms with respect to the retail funding, and this is due to the increase in the repos to fund the growth of the Govies portfolio. The ECB funding is slightly higher Q&Q, while interbanking is lower. In the first quarter, we have also signed a financing agreement, a new one, with an international bank to fund the mezzanine tranche of our securitization, and that allows us to further diversify our source of funding. As a final remark, I just want to mention that there are no wholesale maturities expected in 2019. Turning on to asset quality on the next slide. As you can see from the graph, gross non-performing exposure has increased versus last year end and is now at 230 million. The bulk of the increase is in the unlikely to pay segment, while the bad loans have slightly decreased, and as such, net bad loans ratio has decreased quarter on quarter to 1.5%. In line with Q4 last year, the increase in UTP is attributed to factoring versus the public administration, and in this quarter also to public consortia for which the expected collection date has lengthened. Cost of risk as such increased this quarter to 42 basis points due to higher loan loss provisions, which sat at 2.6 million. Loan loss provisions have indeed increased compared to Q1 last year, but they are in line with year-end. The increase is almost totally related to factoring, which account for 2.2 million out of the 2.6, and is mainly due to provisions related to new municipalities that have entered into financial distress on one side, and also to public consortia that have been moved to the UTP segment, due to the lengthening of expected collection. To this point, I'd like to remark that there is not a single exposure that has caused the loss provisions to go up, but it's more the result of several different exposures. And basically, the same dynamics that explain the increase in UTP are the would also explain the increase in loss provisions. I hand the floor back to Gianluca.
Okay, thank you. A few words about the regulatory capital. So the Core Tier 1 ratio and total capital ratio are, as I mentioned also at the beginning, lower on a quarter-on-quarter basis, simply because we are growing. If we include the effect of CQ reduction, they will become respectively 12.2% and 15.2%. Clearly the Core Tier 1 ratio and the total capital ratio are well above the regulatory capital, which as a reminder for 2018 are respectively 7.75% and 11.85%. Our exposure, as mentioned by Ilaria, in Italian government bonds is very conservative in terms of duration. So the held to collect and sale reserve weight on Core Tier 1 is just 2 basis points, lower than also December, that was 7 basis points. The first quarter result net income, less the 25% that we consider as a possible dividend distribution for the future, has positively contributed to the Core Tier 1 and the total capital ratio. Now I leave the floor for question.
Excuse me. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star. star and 2. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and 1 at this time. The first question is from Luigi Tramontana of Banca Akros. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. The first question is on the remix of your funding sources, which has been important in Q1. And going on, we know that a TLTRO 3 will come starting from Q3. Of course, we don't know yet the conditions of this ECB funding, but I would like to know if you can share with us your ideas regarding possible renewal of your ECB funding, given that you are increasing also your securities portfolio. And the second question is rather on the extra collection of LPIs, given that one of your major competitors signaled today similar problems in terms of extra collection, so decreasing versus last year. I would like to know if there is any structural change in the market or it's simply a change in Q1 that will be reversed in the coming quarters. Many thanks.
Okay, so I will leave to Ilaria to answer maybe to the remix of funding, the TLTRO, and if we plan to issue security, and then I answer to the collection of LPIs.
Okay, so on the funding mix, we would expect the funding mix overall to remain balanced in terms of funding versus retail. As we've seen in the previous quarter, there might be some specific dynamics that would cause one component to grow more than the other, but more or less the overall contribution should be well balanced. We will continue to expect a strong growth in our term deposit component, and depending on the duration that we will receive from the term deposit growth, we will decide by year end whether it would be necessary for us to issue a bond in the capital market. The only reason why we would look at tapping the market is because we might need additional duration to match our assets. But as I said, this will be the result of different considerations. So that covers the second part of your question. The TLTRO would also impact the need to eventually issue a security, because if we manage to increase the portion of TLTRO, that will be relevant for us more in terms of duration than in terms of funding cost. I just want to remark that at the time we are paying a 0% interest cost on TLTRO. We are not paying minus 40 basis points. So because the new TLTRO program is expected to potentially leave the 0% interest rate cost, to offer a 0% interest rate cost as opposed to the current subsidized cost, that will not have an impact for us in terms of interest expenses. The positive impact will be for us in terms of duration, because clearly the end of the program would be the current program is 2020. By increasing the maturity of the program by 2 additional years, that would have a positive impact overall on our on the average duration of our retail fund, of our funding. In terms of additional portion of TLTRO that we might be eligible to get, we are estimating that we could have a positive impact of around 60 million more with respect to the 123 million, which is the current side of funding that we are drawing from the program.
Maybe just to add one flavor. During the last period, we also have seen increased duration coming from deposit from non-Italian citizen. So that is the point of Ilaria. If we raise deposit with this foreign citizen at a certain level of duration, this implies that it's cheaper for us to continue with deposit rather than issuing a bond in nowadays. Now, in terms of extra collection, I don't think that there is any past versus the various law court. If you remember, the government, the Italian government, had announced at the last year that they will have inject more liquidity to the system through the CDP in order to speed up the payment. So the reality is that nothing is changed and nothing is changing. I think that at the beginning of the year, if I compare to what happened last year at the end of the quarter, we had one particular repayment from one court that clearly boosted for the period the LPI. This year we did not add this one-off, let's say, or extraordinary income, but you know, it's very irrational the dynamic of the Italian court. But what I can say is that we don't see more opposition to pay the credit compared to the past. We see the usual standard inefficiency of the Italian court, where they take their time to process the cases. So I don't see in particular a path of change of behavior. No, the core results are always the same. One of the other points to mention is that when we consider the additional contribution of LPI, so the so-called extra collection, in our assumption, we always consider the same type of mix of collection, so which I mean, in other words, that if I collect from an hospital versus collecting from a city. Now, they have two different impact in our P&L, because we are doing an higher accrual in terms of percentage in hospital. So when we receive an LPI from an hospital, the extra collection is very limited, while when we receive an LPI from a city, as our accrual is lower, the extra collection component is higher. So the simple change of the mix will have a different impact in the P&L. When I look finally to the gross LPI that has been collected, the gross amount being collected in 2019 first quarter is in line with what has been collected in the first quarter of 2018. So in terms of gross, we have pretty much the same gross, but the contribution depends on the mix, how much accrual we have done in the past. As in our methodology, we have a different type of accrual depending whether it is healthcare, non-healthcare, whether it is north, center, or south of the country. We have different percentage of accrual. So depending what we collect, there is the extra amount that goes to the P&L. Ultimately, as Ilaria mentioned before, we are collecting even in terms of percentage more than 85%, so we continue to collect the full amount.
Many thanks, very clear.
Thank you.
The next question is from Manuela Meroni of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have some questions. The first one is on the adjusted income margin. It has declined quite sharply first quarter compared with the first quarter last year. I understood that there is a mix effect, that there is a low LPI there. I'm wondering if there is also some pressure in terms of pricing, so some competitive pressure that is declining your margin, or the competitive scenario is, let's say, broadly stable. Second, I would like to know if you can share with us some guidance on the revenues that you expect from LPI in the full year 2019. Third question on the government portfolio. You have increased the government portfolio in this quarter. I'm wondering if you expect some kind of contribution to your interest income in the next few quarters, and also the rationale behind this increase. And lastly, I'm wondering if you have any visibility on when the benefit from a lower risk weighting on salary-backed loans will be accounted for.
Okay, so thank you for the question. Let me take maybe the point of visibility on the CQ, on the directive. As far as we know, it's a question of days, maximum weeks. The publication of not the directive, because it's not a directive. For this reason, being not a directive doesn't need to be implemented in every single country. So, from a legal standpoint, with the publication of this amendment to the CRR directive, immediately the entire package should enter into effect. Now, in terms of CQ, as there is a circular from Bank of Italy, most likely Bank of Italy, is our expectation at least, will amend their own rules, because each member state will have the possibility to postpone the introduction of the changes. If we look at what happened in the past, when the CRR directive was published, it took to Bank of Italy something like 5 months, more or less, from the time when this was published on the European Gazette till the time the regulation has been implemented into the circular of Bank of Italy. Unfortunately, the Bank of Italy did not give any guideline, neither to us nor to Italian Banking Association. So we can only expect that they may follow the same path. So it's a question of 5 months. The delay for the implementation and the entry into effect of the CQ. In terms of Govies portfolio, first of all, the point is that our Govies portfolio has been always a proportion to the overall outstanding in terms of total asset, with the aim to remain in a short duration. Maturity. So the duration, as mentioned before by Ilaria, was 14 months for the held to collect and sale portfolio, and 4 months on the other portfolio. So the average is in the area of 1 year. In that respect, we are opportunistic. If we see that there is an opportunity to enter in a short-term Govies portfolio, because we don't want to take exposure to mark-to-market, we do it. We set a level of limit that is the one that we have today. So currently, we are at the maximum amount that was agreed as a cap by our board. So by year end, certainly this amount cannot increase, can only eventually decrease if we see the opportunity to sell the portfolio or for other reason that we may want to decrease the portfolio. In terms of contribution, I will let Ilaria to give you maybe the contribution.
So the first quarter, the overall contribution of the portfolio was around 1.4 million, divided into 800,000 from a total interest income standpoint, basically in terms of carry trade, the positive differential between yield and repos rate, and the additional 600 million was related to the mark-to-market of our trading portfolios, including some sales and purchases. Considering that we are not expecting to increase the size of the portfolio, we can estimate the total contribution of the treasury activity to year-end to be a proportion of what we've seen in the first quarter, so a positive one. In terms of margins, so we have already described which were the two main drivers of the decrease in margin. So increased relative weight of CQ and basically lower contribution from LPI. I just want to highlight the fact that because you ask about whether we see a compression of margins in terms of purchasing portfolios, I just want to highlight the fact that these margins are actual margins, and so they are a function of different variables, for example, the time of collection, or for example, the fact that if we don't collect within a specific time frame, we decide to take the receivable into legal action, and by doing that we will suffer from a decrease, implicit decrease in margins, because when we take a receivable into legal action there is an immediate effect, a positive effect from LPI, as you know, but also an immediate negative effect given by the fact that we postponed the collection of the capital. So there are really different dynamics that influence the actual margins. But it's important to say that the decrease that we've seen in Q1 this year has not been a function of a compression in the traded margins. So we continue to buy both fiscal receivables as well as commercial receivables at the forecasted margins.
So versus our budget in the first quarter, and our budget is built with the assumption that we collect everything without legal action, so that is the assumption underlying. We are absolutely in line, actually slightly above in terms of expected margin. Then the adjusted margin, as Ilaria mentioned, is on the denominator you have interest, commission, and denominator are total assets that qualify. So depending what you enter into it, you have this percentage. This is how the margin is calculated.
Yeah, maybe just a further comment, a quick one on CQ. The profitability of the CQ, as we said, has been stable versus Q1 2018, a little lower versus year-end 2018. We have to say that the CQ profitability might decrease a bit over the year in terms of the new portfolio that we buy, just because the acquisition of portfolios has become more competitive due to a smaller number of originators that are willing to sell portfolios. At the same time, as Gianluca mentioned, we have started the direct origination activity thanks to the acquisition of Atlantide, which will have a positive impact overall on the CQ margin. But it will take some time for the acquisition and the origination to reach the steady state. So the contribution to the profitability will as well take some time before it takes full effect. So until that happens, we might see a decline in the CQ profitability towards the end. We should recover as soon as Atlantide origination speeds up.
LPI guidelines?
Well, in terms of guidelines, we are expecting LPI to still contributing significantly to the P&L. There are several components within the LPI segment. There is the legal component, of course, as well as the ordinary collection component. Within the legal component, also accrual and collections might have different behaviors and performances. Overall, we could expect then, on balance, the contribution should be in line with what we have seen towards the end of last year, considering also the fact that in the third quarter we will adjust, if possible, if it makes sense, the accrual rates. So we should see a particular boost in Q3 in the accrual component.
Yeah, so maybe also my side, these two comments. One, as usually already happened in the last few years, September is when we do the back testing, and today, if nothing changes, clearly we see that there is another space of increase of accrual in next September. Then we have to see in September with the back testing, but based on the first quarter result, we see the percentage of collection absolutely in line. Second is the point of sale of LPI. We did sell LPI almost every year. We continue to receive requests, offer from investors that are keen to buy LPI and pay upfront. Last year, the transaction that happened with the face value compared to the face value to 85% of price. We see that there is, because there is demand and not much offer, this can even be an higher price. So if we see the opportunity, we may even sell LPI at a certain rate.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I apologize if you already answered my question because my line was quite bad. Just a clarification on Atlantide acquisition. Am I correct if I look at the number assuming no major contribution at top line level in the first quarter by Atlantide, but some cost from Atlantide in the quarter? And what do you expect for the rest of the year? The second question is on a pawnbroking business. Are you taking into account the possibility of external growth rather than just organic growth? Thank you.
Okay. Atlantide, we will have some impact in terms of cost of integration and some also efficiency, because Atlantide will be fully merged into Banca Sistema by the end of the first half of the year. Up until that time, we are continue to maintain the company with their overall infrastructure in terms of the coffees, compliance, audit, as a standalone company. So those synergy can only materialize in the future, which was a part of the transaction. Then we have some integration cost in terms of system migration and so on. So this will have some impact on the second quarter of this year. While in terms of origination, we already started to have the direct origination of Atlantide, also because the portfolio that has been originated by Atlantide since the beginning of the year has been purchased by Banca Sistema. So that means that in terms of P&L for the loan, These are already included in our P&L. At least a part of it is already included in the P&L, because Atlantide has been considered as one seller of the receivable like the other seller. In terms of pawnbroker, yes, we continue to see and look around when there are opportunities. There may be some opportunity that emerge also due to banks' decision or other intermediary decision. So when there are the opportunity, we look at those opportunity. As a reminder, we decided to create an independent, fully owned company for our pawnbroking business, which is called Pronto Pegno. Pronto Pegno is going to be at the beginning fully owned by Banca Sistema, but being an independent entity, if there are sizable transactions that we may want to perform, we have an entity that allows to consider some structure for acquisition also in size if those acquisition possibility will emerge, without having any impact or substantial impact on the capital of Banca Sistema.
Very clear. Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Filippo Prini of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. One brief question. When can we expect the portfolio of Roche to be on your loans and then available to deliver revenues? Thank you.
I didn't understand. When
the portfolio of Roche will be...
Okay, Roche. Okay.
Will be manageable by you.
Yes, I mentioned at the beginning that starting from the beginning of this year, all the invoice will be sold to Banca Sistema for the next 2 years. So this means that we started to buy the invoice at the end of March, because it's when they started to make the invoice for the first period of the year, and this invoice will become overdue after 6 days. So up until that period is a pure back-to-back. So we will start to see some small contribution to this portfolio starting from the last part of the first half. Then the contribution will continue to increase over the course of the year, but the highest contribution will start next year, because next year, when you have all the receivable that are overdue and have already accrued a length number of days outstanding, so basically the public administration didn't pay for long, at that point we start to see the impact of LPI accruals, because that is where you see the impact, so the LPI accrual in particular, coming from this large portfolio. So on the first half of the year is minimal, is turnover but minimal contribution. Second part of the year we start to see some contribution. Starting from next year we see more and more contribution coming due to the delays.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Garbi, Ms. Bennati, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, and have a very good afternoon and good weekend. Bye.
Bye-bye.